feel the touch of hands so kind and tender. They're leading me in paths that I must trod. I have no fear, for Jesus walks beside me. And I'm sheltered in the arms of God. So let the storms rage high, the dark clouds come, they won't worry me, for I'm sheltered safe within. One day we'll hear that call from heaven's portals. Come home, my child. It's the last trail you must trod. We'll fall asleep and wake in God's sweet heaven, sheltered in the mighty arms of God. So let the storms rage high, the dark clouds rise, they worry me, for I'm sheltered within the arms of God. He watches me, and not a birth can harm me, for I'm sheltered in the arms of God. Yes, I'm sheltered in the arms of
God. Amen. That's a great place to be, isn't it? Sheltered in his arms. I love the fact that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Let's all stand together. Turn to 478, please. 478. Nearer, still nearer. We'll sing this together as we prepare for the preaching of the word. 478.
Nearer, still nearer, close to thy heart. Draw me, my Savior, so precious thou art. Fold me, oh, fold me, close to thy breast. Shelter me safe in that haven of rest. Shelter me safe in that haven of rest.
as we sing stanza four, all the kids through the fifth grade are dismissed to children's church. Kids, have a great church time as well. Stanza four together, please.
Nearer, still nearer, while life shall last, till saving glory my anchor is cast. Through endless ages, ever to be nearer my Savior.
Seated, please.
Good morning. It's great to see you all. It's great to be back here. Appreciated your prayers while my wife and daughter and I were back in Illinois for Christmas. We're gone for about 2 weeks. Definitely appreciate your prayers. Missed you all. It was great to see family. Got to see a lot of friends. I was in a wedding of one of my best friends the first Saturday that we were there. Enjoyed being able to see a bunch of people that we haven't seen in a while. And it was a great time, lots of travel. There's a few other people traveling these last couple weeks as well, so the airports were a little bit busy, but it was a really great time. But it's great to be home, and we're glad to be back with you folks, and looking forward to being here for 2019. Excited for what the Lord's going to be doing, some great plans that He has for this church and ministry. And we're excited about that. But excited for today as well. If you could turn with me in your Bibles to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, as I was thinking about what I wanted to preach about this morning, I was thinking about the new year and different things that we are unsure of, as Karen was talking about, but we can base a lot of things that we can be sure of off of Scripture. I'm very thankful for that, and there's a lot of positive things that we can look to and know that are going to remain the same. We know that our Lord and Savior is still going to love us, that He is still there for us every single day, that His love never fails. There's also some things that we see in Scripture, more on the negative side, that will also remain the same. One of those being temptation. And the fact that we will continue to face temptation every single day of our lives. Now, I say that it's negative, and I mean that in the sense that none of us really look forward to temptation. None of us are excited about, oh boy, I'm going to be tempted today. But it could be positive, as we're going to see today, because the Lord seeks to use every single thing that He brings in our lives for His good and for our good as well. And if we allow the lessons that we learn to grow us in Christ, it can be a huge positive in our lives. So this morning, we're going to be looking at how we can have triumph over temptation. Let's look at James chapter 1. We'll read verses 13 through 15. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Let's open up with prayer this morning. Lord, thank you that we can be here in your house this morning. Thank you that as we look at this topic of temptation this morning, something that is not something we look forward to. But Lord, I pray that you'd help us to realize that you have a plan for us and that you have a desire for us to learn from these moments of temptation. And Lord, you also have a plan of action for us to follow when we are tempted, and also to how to be prepared for the temptation when it comes. And I pray as we look in your word this morning at several passages that explain to us what our attitude should be towards temptation, Lord, that you would help us to leave here today better prepared for those moments where we are going to face that temptation. Pray that we as believers would be an example to the lost world around us and how to deal with our fleshly desires. And Lord, that we would show those around us that there is something different. There is something that they should be drawn to. And Lord, I pray that in this coming year, that you would give us many opportunities as a church and as individuals to reach those around us. Help us not to become so focused on ourselves that we lose sight on those around us. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to see the plan that you have for us. And Lord, that you would use us in a great and mighty way. Thank you for all these things in your Son's name. Amen. You know, temptation, as I said, is something that you're going to face. And I think, obviously, over the last couple weeks, and we still have New Year's Eve to go. We're having a fellowship here where a lot of people are going to be bringing desserts. There's a lot of temptations that we face. You know, we had, our family had three different Christmases. We had a Christmas with my in-laws, with my wife's family. We had Christmas with my parents. And then we had our own Christmas actually yesterday. We got back late Friday night, and then my wife and I and my daughter had our Christmas a little bit late. I wanted to do it before we left, but my wife was not wanting to do it on the 12th of December. I'm not sure why, but I thought it would have been fine. But we had three Christmases, which is a blast. But, you know, at Christmas, each time, especially with our families, there's always a big meal, and there's a lot of things to choose. And choosing is always so hard. Everything looks really, well, not everything, but most everything looks delicious and like something that you want. And you're tempted to partake of that. And each day, there's a lot of little things that maybe we are tempted to do. But what we are seeing here in Scripture and what we are going to be discussing this morning is obviously going to be the temptation to sin. I want to look at this morning, first of all, what the definition of temptation is that we are working with. Essentially, temptation is an urge or desire to do something wrong. We saw in verses 13 through 14, very clearly James is saying here that the temptation being discussed here is the desire to do something wrong, the desire to sin. The biblical word for tempt, it can refer in some passages also to a trial, to something difficult that you are going for. We see passages like where God tested Abraham's faith when he told him to sacrifice Isaac. We see situations like that where that was a trying of their faith. It was not a temptation to sin. It was a temptation. It was a trial that God was bringing in their life in order to grow them. That is not what we are looking at this morning. This morning, we are looking very specifically at the temptation in the sense to be enticed to sin, not in the sense of a test or a trial. And I want to make a clarification as we begin this morning. Every solicitation to sin is a test or trial of our faith. But not every test or trial is an enticement to sin. We need to understand the difference there. Every time that we are tempted to sin, God is using it to as a trial and a test in our lives to grow us in our faith. But we should not think the inverse, and we should not say that every time that we are tested and we have a trial brought about on us, that it is a temptation to sin. We need to understand that there is a clear difference there. So what are some facts that we can see about temptation? First of all, we need to understand that temptation affects everyone. There's not a single person here today, there's no person in this world that does not face temptation. You know, each one of us are going to be tempted in different ways. What tempts me is not something that is necessarily going to tempt you. James 1, in verse 14, it says, but every man is tempted. It doesn't say, but most people are tempted, or the occasional people are tempted. It says every man, every single human being on this earth has and will continue to face temptation. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says temptation is common to man. When we get into the idea of what temptation looks like, we only know what it looks like for us. And we can see it happen to other people, but we know firsthand what it is like for ourselves. And it is very similar in how it attacks other people, but each person kind of has their own weak spots. Each person has the different things that affect them differently, and that temptation is going to look different. The issue of temptation is a daily battle. In order to sin, in order to have a sin in your life that you have yielded to, you must first be tempted. I think if we're honest with ourselves, we would acknowledge that each one of us sin. And if you can't acknowledge that, then that is something that you need to come to first of all, and that realization. But in order to sin, we have to be tempted. You see, you can't follow through with the sin if you haven't been tempted by something. The temptation precedes the sin. But second, I want you to see that temptation is not sin. You see, temptation in and of itself is not a sin. When you are tempted to sin, at that moment, you're not sinning. It is when you yield to the temptation that you sin. You see, if temptation were sin, then each one of us would be hopelessly lost in sinning all the time. You see, we still have a choice. We still have a decision to make when we are tempted if we are going to yield to that sin. What are some ways that we understand that temptation is not sin? Well, the greatest example that we can see is Jesus. We understand that Jesus did not sin, but yet he was tempted. And he was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. We see that in Hebrews 4:15. You know, there's been some debate by some people questioning whether, okay, if Jesus couldn't sin, was he actually really tempted? He couldn't have really been tempted, could he? Think of it this way. I had a professor in college that explained it to me this way. He absolutely hated this professor. He hated mushrooms with a passion. It usually showed up in like every other class somewhere along the line. He would talk about how he hated mushrooms and how they were terrible. And he had this whole long spiel about it. And he said, if someone came up to me and said, here, would you like a mushroom? Now, they would be tempting him with a mushroom, but he would not be tempted to have that mushroom because he absolutely hated that mushroom. He could not stand them. You know, there might be something different for you. I am not a large fan, actually, I'm not a fan at all of sweet potatoes. And I know that I might get thrown out of here for that. Some people absolutely love them. My family down in Texas has almost disowned me because of that. But I'm not a big fan of sweet potatoes. So you could offer me sweet potatoes, and you'd be tempting me with them, but I myself would not be tempted to have those sweet potatoes, unless it would offend somebody. Then I would partake of it. But I would not be tempted to have it. That's what the case was with Jesus. You see, he was being tempted with the offer to sin by different things that were going on in the world. We can think specifically when Satan was tempting him in the wilderness, but he was not actually tempted to sin in that moment. You see, the yielding to the temptation is the sin. And when you understand that fine line, the temptation is not the sin. It is when we yield to that temptation. You see, that tells us a couple things. One, that tells us that we have that decision, that the sin comes down to us. You see, we can't just throw the blame on the temptation. We can't say, well, I sinned because I didn't have a choice, because it just happened. Well, if the temptation is not the sin, but yielding to it is, that means that there has to be a yielding. And that means that we have to consciously make a decision to sin. And that means we are without excuse. We need to thirdly also understand that temptation may possibly come from the devil. Satan is called the tempter. In Matthew 4:3, it says, "And when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread.'" This is Satan talking specifically to Christ. And then in 1 Thessalonians 3:5, "For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain." You know, Satan could be tempting you. Satan could directly tempt you. But we also, I think, many times give Satan too much credit of his characteristics. Satan is only one person. Satan is not omnipresent. Satan cannot be everywhere at once. He cannot tempt all of us at the same time. It is possible that Satan may have tempted some of us individually here, but he is not the source of every single temptation in the sense that he is not the one that is tempting us at all times. There are all different types of sources of temptation. The emphasis in the Bible, and I quote here, the emphasis in the Bible in temptation is the enticement of sin that corresponds to our own sinful nature, particularly our desires. Satan is not involved in most instances of temptation. You see, it sounds kind of good sometimes when we say we are tempted, like, well, the devil made me do it. Or Satan tempted me and made me do that. You see, the emphasis that we see time and time again in Scripture, we see here in James, is that when we are drawn away of our own lust, see, the source of that temptation comes from our own fleshly desire, the own desire to fulfill what we want to do. It feels good. You know, I want to give in to that temptation. You know, Satan may be a source of some temptation, but he is not the source of every temptation. The majority of the time, it is our own fleshly desire. Then fourthly, I want you to see that temptation usually follows a pattern. Why don't you just go back to James chapter 1 here. This passage very clearly lays out for us what temptation looks like in the path that it follows. Look back in verse 14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. You see, it starts with that temptation. With that temptation, when you are drawn away of your own lust, when you are enticed, which means when you are drawn to do something. As I was talking about just a few moments ago, you're not going to be tempted to do something that you absolutely hate. That's why each one of us has something different or things that are different that will draw us away, that will draw us to sin. There's something that each one of us, at least one thing that we can all go to that we know is a temptation to us. We know that we can go to that thing and that is our temptation, that is our weak point, and that is where we are going to be attacked because that is where we are drawn away of our own lust. See, the process of giving in to temptation often starts in very small ways. Think back to some of the things that you have yielded to in your life. Think back to how they started. Just maybe this one little thing, giving into this one little thing in your life. You know, that really didn't seem too bad. It's just a little thing. Nobody really even knows about it. It barely affected me. But you see, when you begin to allow a little thing, then you allow something a little bit bigger, then something a little bit bigger. And then before long, you are drawn away and you are consumed with the sin that you are in. You notice the progression that we see here in James where it ultimately leads? It says, then when lust hath conceived, when you go to sin, so then you have sinned, you've gone past the point of temptation, the lust has dwelled up inside of you, and you have now sinned. And then after sin, when it is finished, it bringeth forth death. You know, when you think back to that little act that you did those a long time ago that has led to where you are now, it didn't seem like a big deal then, but now it's leading to death. It's leading to that spiritual death. It could sometimes, depending on the sin, it could lead to physical death as well. We never know what situations we're going to place ourselves in. But ultimately, if we allow sin to control us and we live apart from the path that God has for us, it is ultimately going to lead to death. So this seems kind of sad. It seems like maybe there's no hope. Like we continue to live our lives how it is, and we continue to yield to that temptation, and it's going to lead to death. If I ended there, it'd be a really sad sermon for today. Be kind of like, well, okay, well, we all deal with temptation. It all, many times, most of the time, leads to sin. So what are we going to do about it? I want us to understand some tactics to deal with temptation that we find in Scripture. How can we be prepared to deal with the temptation when it comes? Because it's not a question of if it comes, it is when it is going to come. We've already established each one of us deals with temptation. Each one of us deals with specific temptations. The first thing that we want to see in how to deal with temptation is to acknowledge your limitations. Acknowledge that you are incapable of fighting against the temptations that lead to sin by yourself. No one is able to stand against temptation. 1 Corinthians 10, 12 through 13a. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Very clear warning here by Paul said, as soon as you think that you are standing, that you're able to do it in your own strength, be careful because that is the exact moment that you're going to fall. As soon as we think that we have taken care of a temptation, we have taken care of this area of sin in our lives, like, oh, I took care of that, is exactly when the devil is going to trip us up, when our own lusts are going to trip us up, when we are going to be taken over by the temptation, and we think that we have pushed it away by ourselves, and all of a sudden it has consumed us. As soon as we think we have taken care of it, that is the exact moment when we are going to be attacked. You see, the reason for that is that our flesh naturally wants to yield to temptation. The flesh, this flesh that we are going to continue to live in until we die or until the Lord comes back. You see, we continue to live in this flesh and it wants to do wrong. Matthew 26:41. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. This is 1 Corinthians 10:12. The idea is that our flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak in Matthew 26. You see, our spirit wants to do right. If you are saved today and you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, the Spirit wants to do right. The Spirit wants to follow after what God has laid out for us in Scripture. But our flesh is weak. And that is why if we rely on ourselves, we rely on our own strength, we rely on our flesh, we are going to fail. We have to acknowledge the reality that we are incapable to fight temptation by ourselves. We have to acknowledge our limitations. Secondly, we need to avoid temptation when possible. You know, this is a step that we many times just kind of forget about. That we kind of just wait until we're dealing with the temptation and like, okay, how do I take care of this? And there are things we're going to look at of how we can deal with temptation when it takes place. But how much trouble would we save ourselves? How much heartache would we take care of if we just merely avoided the temptation? As I said earlier, each one of us knows ourselves the best. And by that I mean that you know what is going to tempt you. You know that if there is a specific thing that is going to tempt you and bring you into sin, that is the exact thing you need to avoid. It doesn't mean that in and of itself, maybe it's not even a wrong thing. But if it is a temptation for you that will lead to sin, it is something that you need to acknowledge and change in your life. My dad had a friend that he met at a camp retreat, and they were all kind of spending the afternoon going out on a boat, and they were doing a bunch of water skiing. And my dad and this friend had connected really well. It was a youth pastor's retreat, I believe. But he noticed that he would not go out on the boat, and he's like, hey, why don't you come out and go water skiing with us? He seemed like an athletic guy that would maybe enjoy it, and he's like, no, I just can't. And my dad kind of kept saying, well, why don't you want to? He said, well, to be honest with you, I was a professional water skier. It was something that consumed my life. And it was all that I did. And I even ran away from the Lord for a long time because I wanted to pursue this. And it's an area of temptation to me that will lead me back to the wrong desires. There's a lot of things that surrounded that were wrong. You see, for him, for most people, water skiing is not a problem. Water skiing is not a temptation to sin. But for him, it brought him back to where he was before. Before he was living for the Lord. And therefore, he chose to not participate in that. You see, each one of us may have things like that that by themselves are not wrong. But for us, it is a temptation to sin. We need to realize that our flesh is weak and our flesh is going to continue to sin. And therefore, we need to avoid that temptation when at all possible. God promises to always provide a way of escape for us. The excuse that, well, I was surrounded by the temptation and nothing else to do, the only decision I could make was to sin, is completely invalid. Because every time that we are tempted, God promises to provide a way of escape. We see that in 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taking you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. What an awesome promise from the Lord that we forget. That in the moment that we are consumed with the temptation, that it feels like we have no other chance. You know, that's exactly what our flesh wants to tell us. That's exactly what Satan is trying to tell you, that there's no other choice. That the only direction you can go is to sin. Well, God promises us here that there is no temptation that will come on us that will be more than we can handle through Christ. That will not have a way of escape. You know, if you think back, and I know that I do this, when I think back to the times I yield to temptation, that I sin, and I look back on it, I'm like, wow, well, maybe there wasn't a way of escape. Like, oh yeah, it was maybe as simple as just walking away, maybe going a different direction, maybe not doing this exact thing. There's always a way of escape. We have to look for it. You see, if we're not actively seeking it out, we're not going to find it. If we're not actively trying to walk in the Spirit instead of walking in the flesh, we're going to completely miss that way of escape. But I can guarantee you this, it's there. Because God promises it. And there is always going to be that way of escape for us so that we may be able to bear that temptation. If we have no other choice when we get to that moment, and we have tried to avoid the temptation, but it is still there, one of the simplest things that we can do is to run from the temptation. It's to not allow ourselves to feel like we have no other choice and be like, oh, I just have to give in. See, giving in is easy. Giving in doesn't really take much thought at all. It's just kind of like, okay, I'll do it. Running takes action. Maybe it's a physical running. Maybe it's a mental running away from. Whatever it may be, we should run away from that temptation as fast as we can. Obviously, a very clear example of that is Joseph with Potiphar's wife. When he was in Potiphar's house, and we have no record that there was anyone else in there. The servants were all gone. It was just him and Potiphar's wife. No one else would have known, more than likely. He had every excuse. He had every way to say, well, there was no escape. She even grabbed a hold of me. I couldn't do anything. Yet he still ran. He ran away and he left his most prized possession, the coat from his father that he hadn't seen in years. He left that in her hands in order to escape the temptation. You see, his priority was to not sin. His priority was that beforehand he had already committed to the Lord that he would not sin. And then specifically in that area, that if that situation came up, he was prepared and he knew what he would do. He didn't try to just kind of make the decision and ended up waffling there like, oh, should I stay? Should I go? If we begin to waffle back and forth and try to figure out what we're going to do in that situation, every single time we will decide to sin. If we are not committed to the Lord beforehand, we are going to yield to that temptation in that moment. Because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We are incapable in our own strength of making that decision to not sin. But if we get into that situation, Paul told us in 2 Timothy 2:22, flee also youthful lust. Flee. Doesn't say walk away from. Or casually kind of turn the other direction. Flee, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. If you have no other choice, run from that temptation. Get away from it. Flee from it. But another option that we have is to fight temptation with Scripture. So number four, fight that temptation with Scripture. If we're in that moment and we are able to use Scripture to combat the wiles of the devil, think of Jesus' response to Satan in the wilderness. Jesus, the Son of God, when faced with temptation, you know, he had the ability to just leave. He had the ability to call angels to rescue him. He could have done anything that was even possible to us, that we can't even comprehend. He could have done it to take care of that situation. And yet, what did he do? He used the words of his father to fight against the temptation. I had Brother Don read Psalm 119, verses 9 through 11, tell us what it should look like when we are coming up against that temptation and how we need to be prepared. Verse 9 says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How are we going to fix our way? How are we going to be prepared for when temptation comes? How are we going to fix what we have already fallen into? The clear answer is by taking heed thereto according to that word. By listening to God's word. By having it in our lives. And we see it even clarified further in verse 10. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. See, the mentality of the psalmist here was not just kind of waiting until something happened and then trying to take care of it. See, the attitude beforehand was he was seeking God. He was seeking God's word with his whole heart. That was his daily lifestyle. You see, his daily preparation was not just if something happened, it was being prepared every single moment for if it did. And then he says in verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart. Why? What was the purpose of that? That I might not sin against thee. Why should we hide God's word in our heart? Why should we be memorizing God's word and then meditating on it and having it focus, the focus of our lives? It is so that we don't sin against God. Something that we forget too many times is that when we sin, it's not just hurting us. It's not just hurting those of us around us. We are sinning against God. The God that gave us the ability to defeat that sin, to defeat the temptation. But yet when we sin, we're basically spitting in his face and saying, I don't really care about what you've done for me. I care more about what I'm feeling in this moment and this temporary pleasure that I have in yielding to this temptation. We need to be hiding God's word in our heart. We need to be focused on him. We need to be seeking him with our whole heart so that we do not sin against him. And then lastly, number four, never be caught off guard or always be prepared for battle. Ephesians 6, 11 through 13, familiar passage, but something that is so applicable and so needed for us as believers if we are going to have any chance of defeating the temptation and not yielding to sin. Ephesians 6, 11 through 13, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. I've already alluded to it many times, but we need to be prepared for battle, because these temptations are coming at us constantly. These temptations are not going to stop. Every single person is affected by them. It's a daily battle, something that we face multiple times every single day. And if we are not waking up every morning with the armor of God on and ready for those temptations to come, we are going to be caught off guard. And we are going to be unprepared. And we're going to be stuck in that moment where we're not sure what we're going to do. But folks, if we wake up in the morning and we are committed to the Lord, we're putting on that armor, we are prepared for the battle, not that it is going to take place, but that is already taking place. Because folks, we may be able to sleep physically, but that battle never stops. That battle is continually going on. And if we for one moment think that we can have a break from that spiritual battle, we are deceiving ourselves. And folks, we need to be prepared for that battle because it happens every single moment of our lives. And when we think about the temptations that we face, we need to be honest with ourselves. What are those areas that are tripping us up? That we are allowing into our lives that continually we go to in sin? Do you have someone that you can talk to? If you're married, do you have your spouse that you can be accountable to? Do you have someone else, guys and guys and ladies with ladies, you can be honest to someone, have an accountability partner. Say, this is something that I struggle with. This is a temptation that I have. Can you help me stay accountable with this? Do you have different people that you can talk to? Are we doing everything that we can to fight against the temptations that we face? Because folks, as unsure as we are of what's going to happen in this coming year, we can be sure of this. We are going to face temptation. And we can also be sure of this. If we are unprepared, if we are just leaving it up to chance, we are going to allow that temptation to turn into sin. But folks, if we commit to the Lord, if we are prepared for the battle that we are in, if we are memorizing God's word, focused on his word and how it can change our lives, that temptation does not have to control us. And that sin does not have to continually happen again and again in our lives. We can have victory through Christ. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Christ gives us the strength. Christ can and will give us the victory if we rely on him. Folks, in James 1:12, it says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." Folks, this verse says very clearly, if we love the Lord, we will endure, we will resist that temptation. We will keep our eyes on Christ and what he has done for us. And when we do so, we will receive that crown that we will then be able to lay at our Savior's feet because we have endured that temptation, because we have turned the focus off ourselves and our own fleshly desires, but instead looked at, Lord, what would you want me to do? Today as we leave, I pray that each one of us would be committed to fight that temptation through the strength that Christ has given us, to be prepared for the battle that we are in. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Lord, as difficult as this is to think about, and I know each one of us have many temptations that we face. Each one of us has something that we struggle with, something that is pulling us away from you. I pray that we would be honest about what that is, that we would be committed to you to resist that temptation, to be prepared every single moment of our lives to fight against it. And Lord, that instead of seeing temptation as something that is just dreaded and, boy, it's always going wrong, that we would see it as an opportunity to grow in you. And that when we resist that temptation through your strength, that we would see great things done for you and a great testimony to those around us. Lord, I do pray also that if there is anyone here today that they have no idea what it is like to even have a chance to fight against temptation because they do not know you as their Savior. Lord, I'm so thankful that we as believers are able to have a chance. And Lord, you have already given us the victory against those temptations. Lord, I pray if someone is here that does not know that feeling, that today would be their day of salvation. Lord, that they would begin to be able to see victory over that temptation. Lord, because right now the only choice they have is to yield to the flesh. Lord, I pray that great things would be done for you. I pray for that we as believers would be committed in this upcoming year to fight against the temptation with the tools and the weapons that you have given us. Lord, that we would show those around us that we love you more than we love our own desires. In Jesus' name, amen. If you could turn with me to number 467. 467, as we stand, higher ground. This talks about the journey, the battle that we are in. I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Is that our desire today, that as we are pressing towards living with Christ eventually when we get to heaven, that while we're here on this earth, that we're desiring to become more like him? Are we pressing towards that mark? Let's sing on the first verse, number 467.
I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
Pray that the message is a challenge to you this morning. I know it was for me as I was preparing and as I was speaking it. Because something that we're going to face every single day of our lives is temptation. And we need to be honest about it. And we need to be prepared for that battle. Good to be back with you all. Excited to see what the Lord is going to continue to do in this ministry. Let's close in prayer. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the great time in Sunday school. The great time to be able to worship you this morning in song and time in your word. Pray that you give us a wonderful rest of this day as we focus on you. Bring us back again tonight ready to sing praises to you and to learn from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.